Today, we have not one, but two of the greatest athletes of our generation. Multiple Olympic World Cup winners, Olympic champions, record breakers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the big one. Marco Odermatt and Michaela Schifrin. This is Alpine Pulse Unplugged.
Schifrin is unbelievable. Odermatt, oh my word, that is sensational from the world number one.
My most defining moment this past Olympics was in the start gate of the second run in Cortina. I felt like crazy, like I could feel my team right there.
I mean, I don't want to ski fast for everyone watching. I want to do it for me, for my team. We are working so hard, so you want to show what you've learned, what you've worked for it.
How big is Kitzbühel on your mind for a victory? Is that something you really think about?
Okay, welcome back to Alpine Pulse Unplugged. As you can see, it's the end of the season. As you can see, we have the big globes on the table. As you can see, we have the best two skiers in the world. So today is that special one. Let's start. Okay, you both have built careers on something extremely difficult. And I say that not just by winning, but by repeating it. So here's the first one. When you watch each other, what do you actually pay attention to when, Michaela, you watch Marco win races? Marco, when you watch Michaela win races, is it technique, risk, or do you just like watching each other race?
Is maybe a kind of a combination of things, but actually something I really like to watch for in athletes is like how they look in the start gate. It's not always going exactly the way that the race goes, but the moment when the camera is on an athlete before they start, I think is like really interesting from the psychology to see, are they twitching? Are they sniffing? Are they like making noises or something like that? Because when I'm in the start gate, I feel so much emotion and stress. And it's like learning from somebody how they look down the mountain. I feel like, Marco, when you're on the start gate, and there's times when you're so zoned in on what's coming ahead of you, and I'm like, whoa, just you don't get in your way, you know, just it's pretty incredible. But I don't know if you feel like some days are different than others, or do you have the mentality you always look for?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. That's my mental coach said exactly the same. She always watches how I go out of the start gate, and it's not always the same, but I try to do it always the same, but for sure, not every race you get absolutely into that zone. So this is for sure, I think, a key point. If you get into this mood at the start, that you can deliver. Actually, when you ask this question, I just enjoy watching. I don't really pay attention on too many things, but I feel like it's crazy what you can see when you're skiing, Michaela. You have such a good game plan. You know exactly, especially this season in slalom, where you were so dominant. There were five flat gates and, you know, push there and then easy over the roll maybe. And then pushed again for three, four gates where you know where you can make a difference. Mm-hmm. It never seems, that you're on the limit. But still so much ahead, and that's impressive or easy to see, I feel like.
Let's carry on. So next question, whilst we're looking at each other's dominance, consistency, have you ever taken something from the other and tried to apply it in your own skiing? You ever watch Michaela do something and you go, I'm going to give that a little sneaky try on the training hill tomorrow and see if it works for me?
The problem is I don't really do slalom that much.
I cannot really.
She's a downhill winner, a super G winner. No. I mean, I have to go on for 110 camps here.
Well,
absolutely. I think it's more the mentality. I think just the wee athletes can really know what's going on in athletes' head before a start, during a season, do it all over again. I mean, I'm here for the fifth time, but Michaela has already 10, 11 season or even more on that level. And that's impressive to do this all over again and to have so many more victories than everybody else. So yeah, this is something I look up to.
And Michaela, for you, because the power is such a different field of play for the men, mm-hmm. bigger, heavier, much stronger, do you often think, oh, I wish I could make a turn like that? Or I wish I could get out of trouble like that?
Yeah, I mean, actually all the time. I feel like there's things that I wish I could know what it felt like to ski a downhill run and make this kind of powerful turn. But in my own body, it's just not good enough, actually. But I feel like the same that you said. It's when you look at other skiers, especially looking at a different gender, it's impossible to know what that feels like. You know, I'm never going to know how it is to be so clean, so powerful, to have to harness this kind of energy. I can only know from my own perspective, but I think the mentality is so interesting to me. Like, and every athlete has a different mentality. So, you know, some athletes, I'm so interested, like, how you're driven. Like, when you have the best races, are you thinking, I really want to win this race? Or are you thinking about the turns? Or like, where does your mind stay when you have your best skiing?
I would say I'm driven by emotions.
Yeah.
So for sure, winning gives you the emotions. But it's not actually not the feeling of a perfect turn, I guess. Maybe for a perfect run, especially in downhill. I had this maybe 2-3 times in my life when you come to a downhill finish and you know I couldn't do it any better. In a downhill is for me the most special feeling, I guess. Yeah, and combine this with the emotions in the race, in the finish, together with your team. This is what motivates me, yeah. I guess, not just the feeling from a great turn or... Mm-hmm. What about you?
I like the feeling of a really powerful run when you can imagine like a ball of energy that starts from the start and that each turn you're actually building this energy somehow, like you're holding it. And it comes from, for me, it's like maybe not a perfect turn, but to have multiple of the most perfect turns mm-hmm. you can have.
To get faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, to like really understand how to harness this energy. And it's like if you have a, you know, the gas pedal in the car, but you just can keep pressing it and mm-hmm. you're never worried about mm-hmm. how much faster you're gonna go.
That's a good feeling, yeah.
But it is like when I'm thinking about how much I would want to win something, it never happens. Mm-hmm. You know,
I always just focus on your skiing.
I've had races where I think, you know, maybe I'll see the green light or mm-hmm. maybe this is going to be good enough. And every time I think that, it's so slow.
Yeah.
But when I think about something that's more like, yeah, I guess emotions, it's kind of what you said. It's mm-hmm. maybe a little bit different, but it is like what you get, the feeling you get in your body mm-hmm. when you did something really, really strong. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There are some athletes who say they're so driven just by winning and just by being on the top that you can only think mm-hmm. about that and ski fast mm-hmm. enough. But I never understood this. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. If you're like ever at the start gate and you're like, no, this race, like this is mine. Do you ever think that? Or is it really just like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am.
Because sometimes it looks like that. You're there and it's like, oh, he knows this is his.
Our level, I mean, when we are at the start, for sure, we want
to
win.
Yeah.
And we can win and sometimes we should win and everyone expect that you win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a normal feeling, no? Or a normal thought at the start. Yeah. Sure, I want to win this race. Yeah. No?
It's just part. It just is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about another part of the equation? And it's the second part. You've teed it up perfectly, Michaela. Pressure and expectation. Now, you both carry something that very few athletes experience. There's a whole nation. And for you two now, it's at a global level. People all over the world want to see you win. How different is it to win and to be expected to win? Or you don't care? And I don't care at all. But I know you both do.
I care. But you start.
Sure, we care a bit. But I think in the end, I mean, it's a classic question, but answer. But the pressure, you do yourself. You do it because you want to deliver. I mean, I don't deliver or I don't want to ski fast for everyone watching. I want to do it for me, for my team. We are working so hard. So you want to show what you've learned, what you've worked for it. And I think for sure, always beginning of the season, I feel a little bit more nervous because you don't really know, am I still capable of winning? Am I still here? Can I still be on that level? But as soon as the season started and you had a good race or two, I feel for sure, then you have the big races like for us in January where you feel a little bit more pressure. But again, because you want to win those races even more than maybe a race somewhere else. But this is the self-expectation.
Even at the Olympic Games, Marco, even at the Olympics, 90% of the Swiss population are watching the TV. 90%, that's ridiculous, watching you. Do you feel a weight of the Swiss expectation?
They're also watching Adelboden and Wengen, so...
Yeah, so it's the same.
For us, I think for an American, it's different. But the Swiss, they are so fanatic. They watch anyway, everything. Also, when we don't ski too fast, probably.
So what you... But deep down inside, you're saying they don't mind if you... crash out, they don't mind.
Then Franja win. They're happy too.
Oh my God.
That's a great answer.
That is a really good answer.
Is it different for you, Michaela? Because you are not just a super sports star in the United States of America. You're probably more famous in Europe than you are in some states in the USA. And they love you in Europe. They adore you in the USA. Does that add to the pressure?
I think when the pressure feels heavy, it's when I'm focusing on what other people are thinking or saying, and I do that sometimes. I don't know if you have this too, like what the media says, what maybe family or friends are gonna say. Like I had experiences this summertime, people that I know well, you know, that some family is saying like, oh, yeah, you really got to get that gold medal, just like erase Beijing, you know? And I'm like, thanks. Great. And I'm like, no pressure. You know, I feel those things. But I guess what makes me a little bit, what I wish I could change about the perception around skiing is how, when people expect something, how they think it's easy. Like, that's what makes me mad. Is if you have an expectation, usually it becomes, it's there because you set a standard, you did the work with your team, you've won so many races. Like, you know, it's your own fault. People expect this of you. But it's when they think it's easy, even though you did
it for granted.
Yeah. Right? And they take it for granted. And that's when I get like, that's when I feel pressure because I'm like, I'm standing at the start of the mountain. And the whole world expects this to happen, but they think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
It's annoying, I guess.
Exactly what I said before when you did slalom. It's so easy. You make it look so easy.
I mean, it's different to say you make it look easy. Yeah. Like, that's a compliment because
for sure,
I think that's a powerful turn should look easy. But people say it about you and GS. I for sure have said it. I mean, the other day, I felt so awkward. Yesterday, these days feel like they're 12 years long, but just to say like, congratulations. And I'm like, oh yeah, you too. And it's like, no, congratulations. Like, are you kidding me? We don't take this for granted. You know, you did all of these things this season and you just don't take that for granted. But it's too easy for all of us to slip in the trap to think it is when you make a powerful GS turn. I never seen something like that before. But how could you possibly do it every single turn perfectly every single race? You know, that's like the point of the sport.
And as more often you do it,
the more it's expected.
Expected it is from yourself, from your team, from the fan, from everyone. And as you said, it's actually our fault. But in the end,
it's our fault. Damn it.
Yeah, it's also so easy to say, but it's really like it is. Yeah. Every race at the start starts completely by zero. I mean, the snow is different, the race hill is different, the course setting is different. So even if you won the race last week by 2 seconds, it doesn't help you that much. You have a confidence, for sure, you take that with you, but everything else starts by zero and that's the thing.
Yeah, you're like rewriting the book every time.
When you look at it from I'm the TV viewer, I'm the TV commentator. You both seem to be in different zones when you're preparing for a race. Is there anything I'd like a little piece of Michaela's this? And would you like a little piece of Marco's that? Or once you've got that mental state in the groove, it's going to stay where it is. Basically, I'm saying, is it work in progress?
I think it's a work in progress, but I also don't think you actually can't take something mm-hmm. from someone else's.
Can't like copy.
You can want to do it as well as they do, but it has to be your own somehow, like your own person and
your own way.
Yeah, your own strategy. So it's more like, I think it's like appreciating from afar and understanding how hard it is, sort of like to be that consistent and to sort of set a standard, you know, raise the expectation, achieve the expectation, and then like reset a new standard to keep pushing like that. I appreciate how hard that is, but it's so different.
And you're two of the best of the last two generations, but you too are different. Different mental approach, different skiers. So there's no common thread or common denominator. The individuality of our sport is key to the success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is really different, I guess, to other sports. In ski racing, I think you can be good with so many different personalities, so many different bodies, way of skiing. If you watch Emma Eicher compared with, I don't know, Julia Scheib, then to Michaela Schifrin, everyone is skiing so, so different. And of course, also the approach, the mindset, the character will be exactly as different as it looks on ski. So I think this is a very interesting part about skiing.
I mean, a different way to think about it is like with all the very top racers, like what's a common thing that everybody is able to do when they're achieving success? I don't know if there's an answer, but like the ability to focus in challenging conditions.
Mental strength. I think. No?
Yeah. But like, what does that mean? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Is it being able to show
your more or less best performance when it counts? No?
Yeah. And like, despite conditions.
I mean, there are so many other athletes who are as, I don't mean, we never train together, but I think many athletes would beat you in training.
Yeah.
Or would ski.
No, nobody's ever done it.
No.
Nope. Just kidding. Never happened. I deny it.
It happened to me, though.
Deny.
And still in races, so often the same people are in the front.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change too many times. But on training runs, there are several young athletes. They ski exactly as fast as me or as us. And I think these little things that are not really, they cannot be described, I guess. Little thing, maybe the things that missed the last three races for me this season. Hard to describe it, but there is somewhere something.
Somewhere in there.
And no one knows.
Yeah, that's true. That's frustrating. Nobody knows why it goes right.
But good for us. We find it.
Do you feel when you're training, are you thinking about how that feeling would be in a race? Do you think there's like with the top level skiers, do you think there's a connection between how they train and then like a deeper feeling in training that they can bring to a race better? Because sometimes I feel like watching some athletes train, you're right, they ski so fast, but never in the race or rarely in the race. And it's like to make this connection is a really hard thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
you're like, yep.
I wanted to say before. Yeah, I think this is, in the end, the key part of our sport or in high performance sport in general to bring that performance into the race. And I think it's easy to, or you can try to get this feeling in training, but for me, it never works. It never feels the same.
It's
a training run compared to a race.
Yeah, and I guess that's what shapes good skiers and great skiers.
Mm-hmm.
And great skiers can perform any place, anywhere, anytime, and see that as the moment when they need to flick the switch. rather training is, as it says on the tin, training.
Yeah.
And I think that many skiers would love to find the secret to your question, Michaela, because so many skiers go so fast in training.
Yeah.
They cannot put it together on game day. And I think that is why there is a whole sports science in our game.
Yeah.
That is why I'm sure you both could name the psychologist, the physiologist, the sociologist, all of the ologists are becoming more and more important because we're looking to be able to replicate. And that's what you guys do week in, week out. Save it for the game day and deliver.
Do you think they can find this feeling, this little something?
Like, I think
not.
No, I mean,
because when not even we can not even explain it.
Yeah.
How would you ever find out and
like
train
it
or
yeah.
give it or teach someone?
Yeah.
I think there's really something powerful about the way actually your imagination visualization, like to create a scenario in your mind when you're not there to imagine it. That's when I know I'm really strong is like, I feel that if I put a picture in my, like on the inside of my eyeballs and it's very complete.
Mm-hmm. You feel safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what's, when you're preparing for these January races, or is there one race that you like want the most for your career? I couldn't pick one, but is there one for you?
Yeah, all the general races.
Yeah.
Adelboden, Wengen, Kitzbühel.
All right, well. Check.
Yeah, not everyone. Not all of them. No,
okay.
But there's a few missing, but they're coming slowly but surely. Yeah.
So like prepping for Wengen.
Yeah.
Right now, sitting here, can you imagine yourself in Wengen?
Oh, yeah.
And just like start gate or on...
Visualizing and...
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like not everybody can.
Yeah.
I think that's
so
the
you
superpower.
Also do a lot of visualizing.
Yeah.
I think.
So you've teed up the next part perfectly again, Michaela. So let's go to the defining moments, the big ones. And because we're starting to learn what the secret is here. So let's go to the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess they always feel different because they only come around every 4 years.
Yeah.
Can you describe the feeling when you're in the way that people outside of the sport might understand? Why is the Olympic Games so different? And therefore... the things that we've just been discussing, including the superpower, becomes even more important again.
It's probably different for each athlete for a different reason. Like for sure, for me, the Olympics are different because there is so much attention in my country on this one event. And there's not a lot of understanding about the sport. So the expectation comes and people don't understand what it takes, or they don't understand how important the right skis are on the right day or the conditions, mm-hmm. how that plays a role. There's many stories outside of your control, and it just, that sends me off the cliff. Like, it's so hard to ignore this. And
yeah,
but I also appreciate that the Olympics give us this opportunity, because I think without the Olympics, we would have less of the opportunity to really have, like, make this a profession or a job. In a way, you know.
Marco, different feeling at the Olympics or business as usual?
This year, I've just been at two Olympics. This year was not so special somehow for me. Different reasons, I guess. We had this full World Cup calendar until 2 days before the first downhill training in Bormio. We came there not really far away from an Olympic village, far away from... Olympic feelings, how I expected, or when I think back to when I was a kid and watched the Olympic Games. And so it was also super close to my home. So everything felt a little bit more normal, which was okay, good. Yeah. But also not really what you hope for if you know you have this event maybe once in a career or twice or maybe three times or whatever. So... for sure, expectations are always there. And I think that's exactly the bad things about the Olympics. It's more work around skiing, more medias, more interviews, more things you have to deal with. But in the end, the race itself was not the same amount of more special, I want to say. So, yeah, it felt a little bit different for me.
And turning it into a conversation between the two of you, when you think about the defining moments in your careers at the Olympic Games, what makes a moment truly matter? Is it when you're leaving the Olympics, getting in the car and going home? Is it the medal ceremony? Is there something that happens at the Olympic Games? I get the feeling people go, whew, thank God that one's done. And whew, thank God I've got the medals that I was supposed to get. Yeah. How does that feel for you two when you're in there? Game plan, superpower works. You're both Olympic gold medalists. But what are the true defining moments of taking those gold medals? Crossing the line, pulling it around your neck?
My most defining moment this past Olympics was in the start gate of the second run in Cortina for the slalom. I felt like crazy, like I could feel my team right there, like almost that they were not on my shoulders, but sort of lifting me. It's like if I could paint the picture of myself in the start gate, and you can put everyone from my coaches and like teammates and my mom and even my family, like these people who have been so key, I could feel that they were right there with me. I was really worried to not finish. I was worried to make mistakes. I was worried this won't go the right way. I was worried about all these things, but somehow like not scared at all. And I don't think I can compare this to another race in my life.
Wow. And you skied just beautifully on that second run.
Thank you.
I mean, it was phenomenal. I had to hit myself because I stopped commentating, just wanted to watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was an impressive run. After the Olympics till this event and with the story about the Olympics before, I don't want to have this pressure on my shoulders as well, like you had it there, I guess. So
I guess you must have it, though. I mean, I think also there can be so much pressure, but we can only take so much pressure. Like, at some point, you just ignore it because you can't possibly survive having more.
Yeah, I had this one moment when I won first time in Adelboden, which was, yeah, my only dream I've ever had. I never dreamed about globes or gold medals or whatever.
You did. And what? Huh? You never dreamed about globes or anything? You dreamt about Adelboden.
Yeah,
that's it.
Just to start there.
Wow.
And then finally was in the position to win this race, and I felt so much pressure on that day that I just cried on the chairlift on the way up. Before the first run, then I was leading after the first run, and I was on the chairlift up to the second run, and again, just tack. But this was great moment for me in my career to experience that, to somehow also let this pressure hit you, probably.
Mm.
Kind of deal with it or whatever, let it go, and
then
ski the way I could. And
were you on the chairlift alone?
yeah, for sure. I was.
He's not gonna cry in front of the boys.
Shut up.
Come on.
I mean, you don't know. Maybe you and Franja are crying together on the chairlift. No.
Franja was not there yet.
No. No, but maybe now you do. I don't know.
No, I haven't.
Haven't cried
feeling.
Together?
No.
Okay. Who on your team would you cry with?
Oh, I don't know. Justin, maybe.
But
just because of joy, not because of real tears.
Okay, that's good, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't cry too much since then.
Maybe those tears are because it's a childhood dream come true. And that's quite an emotional thing to deal with.
For sure.
It really is. It's
kind of not explainable.
And be on this chairlift, having these crazy fans under the chairlift in this finish
area.
And
they're shouting at you and you just can feel like, what?
One day you should do four running in Adelboden. That would be a cool moment for you. No?
I would
to get into
so
this finish line?
Stressed.
No.
So stressed.
Why?
A four runner has a job. Yeah. Two. Like, you finish, and I don't know.
I think you're capable of doing this.
I don't know. Thank you, but maybe not. I mean, what if I went flying off this last roller, no. Just like, meh! Like, oh, you guys need to set up the last break over. I don't know.
But maybe we should think outside the box.
Michaela anyway, died
let's Adelboden. Wrap up the Olympics, because you guys have gone through the good, the bad, the ugly, and the brilliant. And so the Olympic Games, you've won golds and you've had some tough times there. Is it worth all the sacrifice? Is it something that should stay? Do we love the Olympics? Do we want the Olympics to stay as it is? Should it be every 2 years? Should it be every 6 years? What do you think the Olympics represents for an athlete at your level? I want 10 golds. I want 20 golds. Does it start to become... Because World Cup is our week-in, week-out business.
No, for sure the Olympics need to stay. And I would also all 4 years, we don't need them more, because this is exactly what makes them special. You know, you have maybe one, as I said before, maybe one chance, maybe two. You never know what's in 4 years. Are we still skiing? If so, are you healthy in that season? If so, are you in shape in this season? Mm-hmm. If so, are the conditions in this race what you like? So this makes it still good and bad things about the Olympics. It makes it one, if not the most special race of a career. And in the end, even if the emotions are probably a little bit different or they were this year for me, it's still what counts a lot.
I think because of these things you just described, there's so many factors that are kind of special factors. It also gives the opportunity for some athletes to shine in a way that maybe they would not typically or consistently, to kind of bring a really big spotlight to, I think, the beauty of the sport as a whole. Where the World Cup or the Globes will really shine a light on the top skier, and there's one or two or five maybe, but it's like really so much attention on one kind of. The Olympics help to share the spotlight in, maybe that can sometimes be frustrating for somebody who's a favorite or expected to win, but it also, like, when I think of the Olympics, I think of just like pure emotion, and you just, these moments of like moments of defeat and you're crying because it broke your heart, and moments of victory and you're celebrating with the team and your friends and somebody you don't even know. And like, it's just so much emotion, but it won't be that way if you do it every 2 years.
That's great words.
Not the same.
And then, with the Olympics being every 4 years, let me bring you on to part five. And let's talk a little bit about life beyond skiing. So people see the results, people know what it takes to stay at this level for a long time. What helps you disconnect from skiing? Recharge the batteries. Because we hear more and more about the importance of this part of our top athlete's lifestyle.
For me, being at home, super easy. I have the privilege to go home very often, also during the season, compared to Michaela. So this, even if it's just for one night, this helps me really to disconnect with the World Cup. When I'm home, I don't know how I do this, but I really never think about skiing, not even for one second. As soon as I'm home with my family, girlfriend, we never talk about skiing. So this...
That's beautiful. Yeah, Michaela, you're lot further away from home.
Indeed. Maybe my moments of disconnecting are sort of smaller moments in the day. Music is really helpful. Maybe like a TV show in the evening. But I've also learned over my career that 6 or 7 months is a long time to be away from home. So managing the energy in that way, to know like when you wave bye in October, like... going to be a minute before I see you again in the house and my bed and family. But you also, that's what you know. So like, this is all I've known in my career. So it doesn't feel, it's just like, okay, what are little things that remind me of home instead? But I would say it's kind of the same, is like home feels good for your heart.
It's great words. It really is great words. Ever thought of considering moving to Switzerland or ever thought of considering?
Yeah, I bought the house next door.
We are neighbors.
Yeah, you didn't know? No, not to Switzerland specifically.
And is there anything you need to ask each? Is there anything you need to ask each other from a disconnect, life beyond skiing? Is there anything that Marco would say to you that would help you not just disconnect, but go to the next level?
How big is Kitzbühel on your mind for a victory? Is that something you really think about?
Yeah, not like every day, but every moment of
my life.
Yeah, sure. This is my last big goal for my career. And this will be in my mind in summer training for sure. A couple of times when someone asks me, what's your goal for next year? I will always say win Kitzbühel.
Yeah.
Because
we don't really have a race like this on the women's side. Not maybe everybody has something, but there's not something like Kitzbühel. If you had to sacrifice things in life, like if you had to sacrifice being able to go home or having some time with your friends, just like drinking beer when you can get away from skiing, if you had to sacrifice this, would you sacrifice that?
To achieve
Kitzbühel. And for how long would you sacrifice it, if you would at all?
Yeah.
Like, would you, for 1 year, would you say, if I knew I would win Kitzbühel?
I never let me get to this point that I have to decide for something like this. Yeah. Or, I mean, I also, before the Olympics, so many said, why did you go to Schladming and Gramontana? It's not the best preparation for the Olympics, this, that. And I'm like, I mean, you never...
It's not guaranteed anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would never sacrifice everything or too much to just probably get 1% a bigger chance, because I would know I would also lose other parts about being on that day in the position or in the level or in the mind. If I would know I sacrificed, I don't know, if I would have skipped Gramontana, I would sacrifice probably the downhill globe, and then I would be there knowing that I did this, it wouldn't help me for sure. And it would also not help me to drink no beers with my friends.
Yeah.
And it would also not help me to not go home. So, I mean, I know that I can do it also the way
You don't have to sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, we all do sacrifice. We do a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's how it worked for me my whole career now. And I know that it can also work for the future like this. Yeah. And I don't want to change too much. I mean, if I would really know it would help me, for sure I would do it.
Mm.
But I think there's nothing I could really change to improve.
And if it helps, Marco, Axel Lund Svindal never won the downhill at Kitzbühel. Bodie Miller never won the downhill at Kitzbühel.
They never?
Never.
Mm-mm.
And they're content with their careers. They're happy with what they've achieved.
I'm happy anyways.
Yeah, and I don't think Bodie or Axel would give up drinking beer to win Kitzbühel down. No, I don't think so.
No, but I mean, when I was talking with Bodie earlier, we talked the whole time about like expressing yourself through skiing. And this is something I see and I respect, but I don't know that I ever achieved like complete self-expression in my skiing, because it was always it's always been a bit more... sometimes robotic or something. And I wish I could be the one that people could just feel emotion when I'm skiing, just only emotion, not somehow. And I think that you do this, like the way Bodie talks about it. I guess sometimes I feel that you have to decide between some victory and maybe like losing yourself a little bit. And I don't think that that will be for you in Kitzbühel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like to choose that you have a complete life the way that you want it to be, even before a victory, because you can do both. But if you had to, I think it's better to choose your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's exactly what I wanted to say. I would not give away the... I would still say kind of normal life. Mm-hmm. I can live next to the career, and I would never give away the fun we have with the team on tour, Yeah, I mean, the victories are just as important or nice if they are fun, yeah. No? And yeah. If they are not fun, the way till there, even if you would win it, it wouldn't be the same, mm-hmm. I guess.
One question that you would like to ask Marco. Marco, one question, and we're going to pretend that these producers in the room here aren't listening. Personal, straight, funny, silly, stupid, happy, daft, or creative, we have one chance to ask each other one quick question.
This is
I awful. Have one, but it's still about the same. We are talking for many minutes now, but I wanted to ask you about still the feelings at the Olympics 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably you have talked about it already several times, but I never really... How was that moment there in Beijing? How... For you, I mean, we talked about it, it's never guaranteed for anything, mm-hmm. but what's your explanation for that? Or mm-hmm. does it make you feel so much more pressure now for these games? Or
mm-hmm. Woof.
Yeah, short question. No,
I think there's many explanations, or there's a lot that goes into an explanation for... Mm-hmm. Majority of the DNFs I had in my career were in Beijing. Some of it's conditions. Mm-hmm. Some of it is that I had COVID just before going to Beijing. Some of it is maybe a bit more psychology side of it, but that I had not really tried to address my feeling after my dad died. And I didn't have any meetings with my psychologist yet. It was after the summer after that. And I didn't know how much I was missing mm-hmm. when in Beijing. I didn't know mm-hmm. what was going on in my own mind. But what I felt in Beijing when I was talking with the media after my DNF in maybe of the slalom or something was I felt like my whole career there was like a rule book around skiing. If I have the right focus and I'm really thinking about my turns and these things are in place and I'm keeping it simple, usually I will ski my best. And until that point, I always finished. So this was like my whole rule book or map for ski racing completely crumbled. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what broke my heart there was that I had no grasp of how to come out of this hole. And then what was worse was after Beijing, we went to Lenzerheide for Super G. I was on the podium.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was all the same things that worked my whole career that did not work in Beijing that worked again. Mm-hmm. And it made me really confused. And it added pressure for this mm-hmm. Olympics because I knew that there was the storylines outside mm-hmm. that would say like the Olympics is a curse and all these headlines, I knew they were coming if I didn't achieve a medal. And this time around, I just totally shut off social media. And mm-hmm. like, it's lonely, I think. It's lonely to feel, this is why I asked you this question about sacrifice. Like, it's lonely to be sacrificing these things for the opportunity to be successful. And I know that because I've done it. And I just really appreciate watching you or so many other athletes who are finding a way to balance like real joy and fun and happiness in your way and also mm-hmm. success or victories or what we have to give to the sport.
Beautiful answer. Very well put. Do you have a curveball for Marco? Because I think he was getting you there. That was a tough question.
I think you won that one. Sorry. When you cross the finish line in Bormio, it wasn't gold. And when you see that your teammate is somebody you train with who for sure you have helped to make better, is there ever a thought of like, but why? Like, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I skied 4 races in Bormio. Downhill was the first one for me, kind of the most important one. I guess I came into finish first, but knowing it will never be enough. And Franjo came probably right after me, and he was like 7 tenths ahead. So I knew it immediately, but it was already my feeling in the finish that it wasn't good enough for winning gold. So,
like the first thought, you crossed the line.
Yeah, the thing is, I crossed the line knowing it was not good enough, but still green, and you still never know what happened.
You still hope, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
for
you
sure.
always, and then gold was gone, then you still hope for a medal.
Yeah.
And then you got fourth, obviously, that's shit, but a little bit frustrating for sure, but I knew I have other chances.
Yeah.
So you take next one,
yeah.
It was combined, so I knew I had even a medal, nice souvenir, so it was okay. Then I.
only a Marco Odermatt can call a medal a souvenir.
Yeah, but it felt like, I mean, yeah. It was a combined medal. It's super nice.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Don't go home without anything.
I know what you mean.
But it's not what you go for.
It's not the point.
Exactly. And then I knew I had my chance for Super G, and I, had another not perfect run again, so I came third in, and there I was most pissed of the Olympics, I would say, because I knew I missed this next opportunity. I thought I will be fourth or fifth again, so in the end I was super lucky to even get this bronze medal there. And then in the GS I was actually really happy with my silver medal, because the preparation for this race was so bad after skiing again 2 weeks just on downhill skis. So, and there I came in, I was second in the first run, came in with green lights, like 6 tenths ahead. I was happy with my performance. I had this joyful.
And you got these emotions.
Exactly. Yeah. I had these joyful emotions in the finish. I knew I have another medal, still can hope for gold. Lucas was just too good on that day. So, it really felt okay for me. It was not the amazing story like Franjo had with 3 golds, but for me it was not frustrating. It was more, you have to deal with the expectation. Mm-hmm. You have to tell anyone, hey, it's 3 Olympics medal in 1 year. And I think what helped me for sure was I was already Olympic champion.
Mm-hmm.
I have this gold medal at home, and that's what made it also easy for me to not give, but to be with Franjo in this time. And I mean, he deserved it. It was, I mean, he had the same pressure as well. And also for him, nothing is guaranteed. So he just was so much better than all of us in this week. He probably can shut down his mind even more than we can do at the start.
Maybe.
And don't think about anything and just skied super free and easy, and so for sure I would rather won it, but it was totally okay.
Yeah.
One last curveball question from my side. Can we do this again? Because listening to you two chat to each
not
other.
Not today and tomorrow.
Not today. This time next season at the World Cup final. But on a serious note, thank you. Thank both of you for a brilliant season. Not for just what you've achieved, because you are the best in the world by miles, but the standards that you've set for young kids, aspiring ski racers. That's what makes you guys true superstars. Because in the end, it's not just about winning, it's about pushing what's possible. And you've both done that consistently. To everyone listening, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad to grab a bit of the superstars' time. You can watch us on all of the platforms, Spotify, Apple, Fizz TV, you name it, we've got it. But most importantly, please join me in applauding these wonderful ski racers for giving us so much enjoyment and entertainment over what's been a magical season. Many thanks for your company.
Thank you.
It's goodbye for now.
Thank you.
Alpine Pulse is an official podcast of the FIS, produced by Maniac Studios.